Three teenage boys get the Boy Scouts of America to change its discriminatory policies. An older brother, trying to save his sick younger sibling, makes the entire healthcare industry address previously incurable diseases. Complete strangers come together to obtain justice for a 70-year-old war crime. The young, the sick, the neglected. These are not typically the people whose ideas are heard. Most often, whether ideas are considered or dismissed is based on who contributes them and how powerful their sponsors, not the ideas themselves, are. So if the young, sick, and neglected can succeed in making a dent, what does their achievement mean for the rest of us? Those of us who are told that our ideas can't be heard because our voices are too shrill, or because we lack certain credentials, or simply because the idea we're proposing is considered too much. Couldn't our ideas have a chance too? And don't they need to? When I first began to write about this concept in 2011, I struggled to describe it. I didn't want to argue only that new ideas and perspectives matter to the modern creative economies, which they do, or that people gathered together in networks could now scale projects that once only large, hierarchical organizations could manage, or that changing times meant that we no longer had to fit in to organizations as a way of getting things done. What I was seeking to propose, rather, was that anyone's, quite possibly everyone's, ideas mattered. The key concept was that every one of the 7.5 billion humans on this planet has value to offer. How? You're standing in a spot in the world that only you stand in, a function of your history and experience, visions and hopes. From the spot where only you stand, you offer a distinct point of view, novel insights, and even groundbreaking ideas. Now that you can grow and realize those ideas through the power of networks, you have a new lever to move the world. I tried to use existing vocabulary to express this concept, but nothing sufficed. The word I was searching for had to be a noun, one that would convey how value creation can come from anyone and how even wild ideas now have a chance to flourish, because networks allow anyone to bypass the standard gatekeepers and the frameworks they hold as true. As Sarah Green Carmichael, my editor at Harvard Business Review, for whom I was writing an article, and I twiddled back and forth, we finally realized no standard term worked. Yet, because both of us had been the only one at different stages of our careers, moments when the dominant culture told us that our particular only made our ideas marginal rather than meaningful, we thought, let's invert that. Let's reclaim the idea of each person's only as a strength. With that flash of insight, the term onlyness was born. Through the power of onlyness, an individual conceives an idea born of his narrative, nurtures it with the help of a community that embraces it, and through shared action, makes the idea powerful enough to dent the world. The storm that created that particular lightning bolt had, in fact, been brewing for some time. I had often wondered whether anyone could actually be eligible to have a shot at success, or whether people had to fit a particular profile to have their ideas be valued. The tension between those two alternatives had profound effects in my own life, so let me share three stories of how I discovered my own onlyness.